Sleepily, child, for thou art safe in heaven's keeping. Angels hover near, and they are here to guard thy sleeping. Shadows of the night will in the morning light be gone. Sleep, holy child, so make and mild, sleep on. At thy crib we find faith and hope have shined, beaming, the light is beaming, gleaming to all mankind. Sleep, holy child, tonight with thee our hopes all rest. Matchless is thy worth, for in thy birth the earth is blessed. Sleep, holy child, thy coming brings a brighter dawn. Lord of life and love, from heaven above, our fears are gone. O holy child, so meek and mild, sleep on.
Again, all too quickly, our reunion is about done. Last evening, Brother Roland Surratt, with whom I shared the room, we talked, and I said, six sermons have been completed, one left, and only one prayer service. And now we're in the final service of this reunion. And as I look back upon the reunion, and especially the events of the day, I'm rather amazed how things fit together. I was amazed how some of the testimonies fit so well with what I plan to present this day. And I would like to read today two verses from the second chapter of the book of Acts. And I'd like to read verses 17 and 18. And it shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see dreams, young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I want us to think upon these particular scriptures this day. And this first one here is a promise. In the last days, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Now that's flesh that's receptive to the working of the Holy Spirit. And it wouldn't be anything else. It would have to be that, because it says, my spirit. And then he went on to say, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And these are part of the things I want to touch upon today. And I want us to think upon it. Down through time, if we will analyze the scriptures, we will find the Lord foretelling events and giving direction by his prophets. Sometimes this direction came by dreams. Sometimes it came by visions. But he has done that from the beginning of the time. In Amos 3:7 you can read, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servant the prophets." And we know that is a true statement this day. And God is a great God who can hear and answer prayer. Now, one of the most referenced visions or dreams, it's referred to both ways, and maybe more a vision, is the vision of Lehi, which Nephi also heard. And I want to touch a bit upon it before I get to the real part of what I wanted to present today. And I'd like to turn to 1 Nephi, the second chapter, on page 20 in your Book of Mormon. And I believe this first part, some of it I'm just going to tell a story. We all have heard this time and time again. And it isn't new to young or old alike. And I want all to listen this day to what I have to present. Because not alone am I speaking to you adults, to you grandmothers and grandfathers and you mothers and fathers, but I'm speaking to you youth today. I'm speaking to you children today, and I don't want anyone in this congregation to forget that. Because God will know whether you're paying attention to what Marvin's saying this day. I don't even have to give you a quiz. Now I put the responsibility on every one of your backs. Listen carefully, because I feel I have some things to present. So again, you're going to hear a part of this beautiful vision. God's direction. In that vision was direction that was important for those people then. It is important for you people today in the confines of this room. It is important to those about us. And I'm not going to touch upon parts of this, but in this same thing was things that pertain to the destiny of our own nation, of which you and I are a part. It reaches on down to the time in which we live, a time when there will be only two churches, a time when the saints of God must be armed with righteousness and the power of God in great glory. And I want to back up now and read on page 20, starting from verse 48, and I'll read down to about 54 or 53, and then the rest of it, I'll just take excerpts out of it. "And it came to pass, after I prayed unto the Lord, I beheld a large and spacious field." And I like to ask people, as I present this particular vision, to kind of in your mind's eye, picture all that I'm going to present. Just kind of look at it. You can surely look beyond this and see this spacious field. "And it came to pass that I beheld a tree." Just think of this beautiful tree, "whose fruit was desirable to make one happy." Now that just sounds kind of nice to me. In a day when there's turmoil and trial and distress, we've heard about it during the reunion. We go to our locals and we hear about it. But here it says, here's a tree. It's desirable to make one happy. Now, I'll tell you what, it seems like to me it would be desirable to make an effort to partake of the fruit of that tree. And incidentally, That tree is a representation of the love of God. Don't forget that, and the fruits thereof. And it came to pass that I did go forth and partake of the fruit thereof, and behold, and beheld that it was most sweet above all that I've ever tasted. It was one of the most best experiences that Lehi had ever had. Yea, and I beheld that the fruit thereof was white to exceed all the whiteness that I had ever seen. And as I partook of the fruit thereof, it filled my soul with exceeding great joy. Now, wouldn't you like to have exceeding great joy? I've watched various ones of you. I've stayed in your homes. I've ate at your dinner table. And sometimes things aren't always happy and joyful. You know that. I know that. Other times it's really happy and nice. But here is exceeding great joy. It can be yours. It is not beyond our reach this day. Wherefore, and note this, after he took of that and had this happy, joyful experience, I began to be desirous that my family should partake of it also. Now, isn't that kind of nice? Wouldn't you like to have your children and your brothers and sisters, even if you don't always get along real good with them, you'd kind of like them to take of this fruit of this tree, wouldn't you? For I knew that it was desirable above all other fruit. The love of God is desirable above all other fruit. Don't forget that, brothers and sisters, this day. I think the rest of it, I will just touch upon excerpts. Now, to get to this tree, and it's also called the tree of life, to get there is a straight and a narrow path. Also, there's a broad way off there too, if you get off the straight and narrow path. But the broad way don't lead you to the tree of life. And along that straight and narrow path, there is the rod of iron, which is a representation of the Word of God. And on the other side of that is a river of water. That's a representation of the depths of hell. Cling to the rod of iron. You won't have to worry about that river of water. Nearby, that straight and narrow path in the rod of iron. Also in this particular vision, Lehi beheld as people press forward, grasping this word of God so that they might go partake of the tree whose fruit was desirable to make one happy, and it gave one great joy. He beheld as the people went forward, midst of darkness arise, and clouded their way, and they fell away under other paths and were lost. Those mists of darkness is a representation of the temptations of the devil. He's ever alert, trying to deceive the children of men. And yet others press forward, partaking of the fruit of this tree, and then looked about as if they were ashamed. And they beheld a great and a spacious building that was filled with all manner of people. Now listen to who was in that building. Both young and old were in that building, dressed in exceeding great fancy type of dress. And these people pointed their finger at the people who had partaken of the fruit of the tree. And some of them were ashamed and fell away on the forbidden paths. Now this building is a representation of the vain imaginations and the pride of men. That the things of this world is the most important. And they are not. We are told in the Scriptures by Jesus Christ to lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. That's where we lay our treasures. And then we find other people pressing forward and partaking of the fruit of the tree of life. But remember, it is the rod of iron that will bring you to this tree. Several years back at a Phoenix, Arizona reunion, and I copied down for past notes, so it should be reasonably accurate. I don't claim to be infallible because I write strange things sometimes. My brain caused me, writing along here, and I'm amazed at what I put out on a piece of paper. You know, so none of us are infallible. But I'm reminded of a scripture which says in the book of Ether, I give unto men weakness that they may be humble. So, this is important in our life. Well, let's reference a little farther. This particular reunion, November 30th, a sacrament service in 1986, of which Brother McIndoe was in charge and I assisted him. And I kind of like to be at a place where I can watch people. And incidentally, for your information, I really enjoyed singing the hymn 166 with you, as you're all on the altar laid. I looked about and saw your faces. You know, I saw some happiness there today. It did my heart good. This is one of my joyful moments, to be where I can watch you, see, sing your hearts. And you were singing your hearts out today. I like that. Well, here in this reunion at Phoenix, a sister testified. Our sister Ruth Willard, in the back of the room, and I can still see where she sat in the aisle. It was the last reunion she attended because she shortly passed away in the next year. But anyway, as I looked back there and she sat in a wheelchair, she bore her testimony. And I consider it a rather profound testimony, an important testimony of the importance of keeping the commandments of God, the importance of clinging to the rod of iron, the Word of God. And then she said in her closing statement, and I copied this down from my notes, don't turn loose of the rod of iron. And I say to you this day, remember the words of our sister who has already departed. Don't turn loose of the rod of iron. It causes heartache, stress, burden, beyond anything that we can even conceive of. Cling to that rod of iron. Yes, this vision of Lehi and Nephi was a rather important vision. Now today, I have chosen to reference another vision that was given to me by Brother McIndoe when he returned shortly before the April conference, and he gave the apostles a copy of a vision that a brother had there. And I'm going to reference this particular vision today. And I would like to read parts of it. In fact, I will read it all before this sermon is done. But I'd like to read the first paragraph and the last paragraph, and then the parts in between, I want to individually reference and read them to you. And I want you to carefully listen to this vision. On December 28, 1988, Evangelist Placido Cuyoke awoke early in the morning. While praying over the day's activities, a vision appeared before him. He first saw his family, then all his brothers and sisters in his congregation which represented to him the church at large. He was overcome with the impression that there was a great need within the church. With this awareness, the vision faded, and as he pondered the significance of what he had seen, there came into his mind, one by one, a list of needs for which he thought we should be praying. He listed them together with a few scriptures that came to his mind. Now, I'm going to shortly read one by one these various needs. There are eight, and he listed some scripture. But I'll take them up a little later. But I do want to read the final paragraph at this time in this particular reading. He made known his experience of this vision and his impression upon it, and these various points. And he made known his experience to his congregation and asked them to join with him in a committee of Christian energy, Ephesians 6:18. A considerable number of young people and adults have done so and meet each Wednesday afternoon to unite their prayers for these specific needs. The leaders of the committee meet as well each Sunday morning, listen to this, at 5 a.m. to pray earnestly for these needs of the Church of Christ. Now, I'm going to unfold these needs before you. I'm going to place some of this burden upon your back. I want you to listen closely. You each have got a duty today, and I really believe this. I felt so moved with this particular vision that after I returned home from conference the last part of April, I preached a similar sermon as I'm about to present. And as Brother Rollin wrote to me and asked that I might be one of the speakers or preachers of this reunion, I thought of what to preach, and it was impressed upon me to present this again. The first need that he listed here is this: pray that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into the vineyard. And he listed Matthew 9:38. And I'd like to turn to Matthew, and I want to read an extra verse along with that. But we have a duty to pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into the vineyard. We each have a special duty of that, for the work is great. The ninth chapter, and I want to read verse 37 and 38. I want to read both of them. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Kind of true, isn't it? Pray ye therefore, every one of you, offer your earnest prayers. Jesus gave the invitation many years ago. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So it is important that we do this. I have another reading that I'd like to read from the book of Jacob. And this is found on page 186. In Jacob 3, and I'd like to read 136 through 140. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard sent his servant And the servant went and did as the Lord had commanded him, and brought other servants, and they were few. Here Jesus said that the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And the Lord of the vineyard said unto him, go to and labor in the vineyard with your might. Now that's a special duty of the ministry of the church. For behold, this is the last time that I shall nourish my vineyard. For the end is nigh at hand, and the season speedily cometh. And if ye labor with your mights with me, ye shall have joy in the fruit which I shall lay up unto myself against the time which shall soon come. Which shall soon come. And it came to pass that the servants did go and labor with their mights, and the Lord of the vineyard labored with them. And they did obey the commandments of the Lord of the vineyard in all things. Now that to me seems to be a rather important part, to obey the Lord of the vineyard in all things. I would like to read the next point that came to our brother. Item 2. Pray for the responsibilities and well-being of the pastors and the ministry. And he lists Hebrews 13:18 and Colossians 4:2-4. And I want to turn to the book of Colossians at this time. The 4th chapter. And have us consider this particular reading. I would like to read 2-6, a little more than our brother even listed here. Now note this carefully. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us. And Paul wrote, pray for us. We are your ministry. He said, pray for the responsibilities and well-being of the pastors and ministry. We got a duty to do this. We got a duty to pray for our ministry, that our ministry might become more effective. And then he says, why pray for us? That God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. We need to be able to have the door of utterance opened, that we can speak the ministry of Christ with power, for which I am in bonds. And then listen to verse 4. That I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, so that I might do it as I ought to do it. Not as Marvin Ely wants to do it, or Brother Mosier wants to do it, but as I ought to do it, what the Lord wants me to do it, that I ought to do it the right way. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. And listen to this, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. And we know a lot of times we get rather frustrated in how we ought to answer different questions that's placed to us. There's a lot of different questions that can be placed before us today. And with the adverse publicity against so-called Mormonism today, and anybody is connected with beliefs in the Restoration, and with all this adverse publicity, we need to answer it how we ought to do it, that we might know how to answer every man with effectiveness and with power, with the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. I noted this morning in our sacrament service and the testimony part that followed a little point that one of the ministry brought out, Brother Marvin Case. And he gave a plea. How many can remember what the plea he gave? Who wants to raise their hand and tell me? I'll read it for you. Please pray for me that I can do a better job. Did you hear what that brother asked you to do? Will you forget it when you go from here? I hope not now. I think maybe it's impressed on your mind. And when I ask you next time, you'll know. Well, anyway, I might have a few more questions to ask you today yet, see? See how good our memories turn them out. See how well we listen today. Well, I got to confess, I don't catch everything either. So, but we do have weakness, and we need to listen and pay attention. There's a lot of things that you can find to tie together. That's why I say, I'm amazed at how these things fit today. So I went through and wrote down a few more things, see? I might have lengthened the sermon a little, but be patient. There will be the final reading, but not yet. I would now like to read item number 3. Pray for the response. Now, you listen to this here. It's a duty of every one of you in here. Pray for the responsibility of parents to God. Did you parents hear that? We're to pray for the responsibility of the parents to God and to their children. Did that ring in your ears? Did you hear what I said? You parents have got a responsibility to your children. Well, I'd like to turn to one of those responsibilities here. In Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not you mothers too. No, I won't leave you out. Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's the way you to do it. The burden's on your back right now. The burden's on all of our back to pray for these parents that they can do that. A few weeks ago, several of you may, and maybe most of you read about that terrible plane crash up in Iowa, where part lived and part died. My daughter sent me a little clipping from the Rocky Mountain News out of Denver. I'm going to share a part of this with you because I think it touches right here of what we've read. On board that plane was a mother and father, one about 32 or 3, another in about 31. They had a daughter, 6, and another one, 2.5 years old. And they'd left their two daughters at home, and they hadn't done this before on any flights or anything, but he was called to go to a special meeting connected with his employment in Chicago. And so they were aboard this ill-fated plane. And the wife heard when the motor went out. And it really shook her up. She would like to be out of that plane. She'd like to be down on the ground. But the thing is, she's up there in the air. And her nice husband consoled her, you know. And now I'm going to read another thing. And it touched my heart. The last thing they did together was hold each other and pray. The stewardess had come around and said, buckle up, we're going to crash. Prepare for a crash. And the last thing they did together was to hold each other and pray. We prayed for survival. I remembered Kevin asking God that if we did lose our lives, to watch over our children. That really touched me. Here was the father. If we don't survive, God, watch over our children. And the wife, choking back tears, said, then we just leaned down and waited for the crash. A bit later, she looked beside her And there's two seats were torn out of that plane, and they were sitting out upright in a cornfield, side by side, her and her husband. But he did not survive. She survived, even though bruised, and wondered why it was this way. One was left for these little girls. But this thing kind of touched me. But of his great concern and love for his children. I want to read two more references on our concern for our children. And the first one, or in fact both of them, are found from the Book of Mormon. I'd like to turn to the Book of Mosiah, the second chapter, on page 221, the words of King Benjamin. This is found in verses 25 through 27. You parents, listen. Open your ears. And ye will not suffer your children that they go hungry or naked. There's parents in this world that suffer their children to go hungry or naked. Now listen to this. This is going to get binding. You children listen too. Neither will ye suffer that they transgress the laws of God. You won't suffer your children to transgress the laws of God and to fight and quarrel one with another. King Benjamin laid it down plain to a people many years ago. To fight and quarrel one with another and serve the devil. Now, who are you serving when this happens? The devil. King Benjamin said so. I don't argue with a man like that. There was a man who was in the service of his fellow beings. And he says, when you're in the service of your fellow beings, you're only in the service of God. And the devil is the master of sin. Or who is the evil spirit which hath been spoken of by our fathers? He being an enemy to all righteousness. And we've heard during this reunion a desire for greater righteousness. The devil is the enemy to all righteousness. Cling, don't marital responsibility. But ye will teach them to walk in the ways of truth. That is your duty this day. Don't forget it. And soberness. Ye will teach them to love one another and to serve one another. And as I've already said, when you're in the service of your fellow being, you're only in the service of God. And the ministry are to be the servants of all. There's no place for somebody to be haughty and lifted up. I'm reminded of that little story of a preacher that every day went up into the spire of the church to pray so he could be closer to God. It's a poem. And finally, he just wasn't getting any closer to God, and he grew old in years. He was getting tired. And so in his anxiety, he says, Lord, where art thou? And the Lord's answer, I'm down here among my people. So there, see, we can't think of where somebody is better or all this. No. I want to read now from 2 Nephi on page 143. And I think maybe I'll just read one verse. Verse 48 from the 11th chapter. And we talk of Christ, we rejoice in Christ, we preach of Christ, we prophesy of Christ, and we write according to our prophecies, that our children may know to what source they may look for a remission of their sins. Now they did that. Do you want to do it? You better want to do it. Maybe another little quiz, and maybe you might remember this one. Sister Keeney gave a testimony. Toward the end of it, she says, "I'm not afraid of the kingdom being taken away. I'm not afraid of that." No, Daniel 2:44 said it's going to stand. She wasn't afraid of that. She believed that scripture and that prophecy. But here's a statement that she says, "But I am concerned for each one of you and my family." That dear sister. And incidentally, I can remember the year that she was baptized, 1933. Oh, I wasn't there. But I happened to be baptized the same year in Colorado, 1933. So even though I may be younger in years, in this respect, we each have something in common. We talked one day, and she was rather surprised that I was baptized the same year as well. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I'd like to read item 4 now. Pray for the duties of our youth toward God and their parents. In this Ephesians 6, 1 and 2, children, now you children listen to this. I've already been invited to give a quiz in the home I'm going to stay tonight. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Remember that. I may still ask you a question, but it's part of it. It's part of our responsibility. I'm not going to turn to this because I see how rapidly time just goes on and on and on. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, "Remember that the Creator in the days of thy youth." There's another one this morning testified. Oh, this was a sermon. Brother Gail Brantner's sermon. "You young children," he said, and how many have forgotten this? "Listen to your parents." I keep some notes, and I'm not even the best on notes anymore. I'm kind of can't keep up with things too good, but then I still keep some notes, and I like to look back. And I look back, and I wrote down a few of these things so you wouldn't forget them. So, you young children, listen to your parents. There's a preacher here that already said to do that beside me. Number 5, pray for our little ones, their duties to God and to their parents. These little ones has got a duty to God. These little children, not only the youth, but these little ones has got a duty to God and to their parents. You don't want to forget that either. Well, let's turn to the book of Colossians for this reading. And it's found in the third chapter, verses 20 and 21. Now, I want you children to listen closely. Children, obey your parents in all things. Did you hear what I said? For this is the well-pleasing unto the Lord. Listen to this, you fathers. And for some reason they didn't put mothers here, but I know they meant it. Don't kid yourself. I've seen some of the mothers use a little board to try to straighten out the children. It isn't always the fathers. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they become discouraged. Now, children can become discouraged. I've seen discouraged children. I've seen discouraged young people. I've seen where wiseness was not done. And then it falls part of my heartache to pray over, to try to maybe counsel, to help. Number 6. Pray concerning the physical and spiritual sicknesses within the church and for those outside the church. there's another duty. And I'd like to turn to the book of James, the 5th chapter. And I think we all know what I'm about to read. Now, I'm going to use a little more than Brother Placido listed. He listed James 5:15. But I've chose to read 14 through 16. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now that shows the prayer of faith can raise the sick. And I think any elders had this experience on administration, and sometimes it seems like the people evidently didn't receive all that we would have desired from them to receive. And maybe we need to look more deeply into our individual lives. And I know that everybody won't necessarily be healed. I know that. But it does say the prayer of faith shall save the sick. But listen to verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Now there is a way to help your ministry to become more effective. Don't forget this. Remember this in your private places and in your congregation. The affectionate, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'd like to read item 7 now. Pray for the work of God in all the world, that others will be converted to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to read from 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter. And I want us to think upon this particular reading. And I would like to use verses. I'm going to like to start with verse 1. I exhort, therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. We got a duty to pray for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority. Pray for the President of the United States and your Congress. My goodness, they certainly need it. And I better not get involved in politics. No, never here. That we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. So he would have all men to come and be saved. This morning, another testimony of a sister from New York, Sister Gretchen Tarbell. She made a plea. She made a statement. And in a way, it's kind of a plea. She said, the Indian people are torn about. There is much disunity. They need Jesus Christ. And this isn't the whole complete statement that she mentioned. She presented a responsibility for you this day. They need Jesus Christ. Pray for the work of God in all the world, that others will be converted to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this here is an Indian brother here in Mexico. Is that plain or is it not? I'd like to turn to the book of Alma. And this is found in the 4th chapter of the book of Alma. And I'd like to read verse 6. I'll read verse 5 and 6. It's a little more complete. And I would that ye should understand that the word of God was liberal unto all, that none were deprived of the privilege of assembling themselves together to hear the word of God. Nevertheless, the children of God were commanded that they should gather themselves together oft. Did you hear that? And join in fasting and mighty prayer in behalf of the welfare of the souls of those who knew not God. Now they did it. We can do it. We got a duty to do it. There's a great work, and we keep wondering, how are we going to do it? Well, all we need to do is get a little busier on it, see? The Lord with a handful of people has done a lot and a lot of times. The last item on this list. Pray for the endurance of faith and Christian unity and service to our God. And we really need to do that. Pray for the endurance of faith. There is trying things happen. Brother Moses. Beg your pardon. Brother Moser. Well, I think it'd be kind of nice to be called Moses anyway, you know. Brother Moser this morning gave a rather enlightening testimony of how he was touched in the day in which we live and of the things that are taking place. We're living in a time of very trying happenings. But he indicated here in his statement that we must endure. He indicated that a lot of prophecies are being fulfilled, but we must endure. That's what Brother Placido said. Pray for the endurance of faith. Brother Ken Orr said, God is in control. And this is encouraging. I would like to read Matthew 24:13. And this gives the reference that Brother Placido had. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Endure. Oh, it didn't say necessarily it's going to be all easy, did it? Of course, really, we didn't realize it was going to be all that tough either. But maybe today's only preparedness for something tomorrow that might be more difficult. And I have referenced lately a statement that I made, and it's been about 7 or 8 years ago, and it may have been a sermon or a testimony, and I don't recall which one right now. But I, at that time, said we're ill-prepared for the events that will shortly unfold. And little did I realize what was going to unfold, you know. Why, in the last 2 or 3 years, all kind of things seems to be unfolding. But we're being tried. And it says the trying of your faith worketh patience. I would like to turn... maybe I should read one from 2 Nephi, the 13th chapter. Because it really, this is on page 163, verses 29 and 30. You know, incidentally, of all the things that I bring out today, none of the other ministry used any of these scriptures except these two verses as a part of a reading. I find that rather unusual. Wherefore, ye, after you have entered in by the way, and the way is repentance and baptism, And after you've entered in by the way and received the Holy Ghost, you must press forward. And then it says, ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. That is your duty this day, to have a love of God and all men. It may be tough to pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you. It may be tough to love your enemies. It isn't too tough to love those that are nice to you, is it? You know, why, I don't take any effort at all. The other does. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, or the word of God, the rod of iron, don't let loose, and endure to the end. What'd that say? Endure to the end. Thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. Now I have one more reading. And so it did come to the final one. Again, from the book of Colossians, the third chapter, starting with verse 12 through 15. Listen to this wise advice many years ago. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Put that on. That's the type of people you are to be. Forbearing one another. Forbearing means to bear with one another. Another meaning of it is to endure. Now, these are obsolete meanings, but I'll tell you what, I think they fit sometimes. So, when it says to forbear one another, we bear with one another in spite of our individual weaknesses. And we must confess, you know, sometimes there is people you might feel more comfortable with than others, you know. Oh, we got to be honest about it. We can't be deceptive. We shouldn't be. But it says to bear with one another, to endure one another in kindness, said here. Humbleness of mind, kindness. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And we know that when you lay one brick upon top of another, there is some mortar in between that bonds this brick to the next brick. So if you want to be bonded to perfectness, charity, the pure love of Jesus Christ is that bond. Don't forget it. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. So I hope today, maybe I've outlined some things that I would have hopes would be beneficial to each and every one of us, of our responsibility. And let me tell you, our brothers in Mexico are praying over these items. I think we could support them, don't you? I think we could try. I think we could make an effort. Don't forget it. There are two.